The ancient and accepted Scottish Rite uses the word dogma in its true sense of doctrine or teaching, and is not dogmatic in the odious sense of that term. It is only required of him that he shall weigh what is taught, and give it fair hearing and unprejudiced judgment. Titles of degrees as herein given have in some instances been changed. Correct titles are as follows. 1 degree, apprentice. 2 degree, fellow craft. 3 degree, master. 4 degree, secret master. 5 degree, perfect master. 6 degree, intimate secretary. 7 degree, provost and judge. 8 degree, intendant of the building. 9 degree, elu of the 9. 10 degree, elu of the 15. 11 degree, elu of the 12. 12 degree, master architect. 13 degree, Royal Arch of Solomon. 14 degree, perfect elu. 15 degree, Knight of the East. 16 degree, Prince of Jerusalem. 17 degree, Knight of the East and West. 18 degree, Knight Rose Croix. 19 degree, Pontiff. 20 degree, Master of the Symbolic Lodge. 21 degree, Nochite or Prussian Knight. 22 degree, Knight of the Royal Axe or Prince of Libanus. 23 degree, Chief of the Tabernacle. 24 degree, Prince of the Tabernacle. 25 degree, Knight of the Brazen Serpent. 26 degree, Prince of Mercy. 27 degree, Knight Commander of the Temple. 28 degree, Knight of the Sun or Prince Adept. 29 degree, Scottish Knight of St. Andrew. 30 degree, Knight Kadosh. 31 degree, Inspector Inquisitor. 32 degree, Master of the Royal Secret. How do you find this book? Any thoughts about the book or the author? Any suggestion for improvement? Please take a moment to share your thoughts in a comment. If you like it, share it with your friends who might enjoy it as well. Subscribe to keep in touch. Visit CompleteAudiobooks.com for more quality content. 1. Apprentice. The 12-inch rule and the common gavel. Force, unregulated or ill-regulated, is not only wasted in the void, like that of gunpowder burned in the open air, and steam unconfined by science. But, striking in the dark, and its blows meeting only the air, they recoil and bruise itself. It is destruction and ruin. It is the volcano, the earthquake, the cyclone, not growth and progress. It is Polyphemus blinded, striking at random, and falling headlong among the sharp rocks by the impetus of his own blows. The blind force of the people is a force that must be economized, and also managed, as the blind force of steam, lifting the ponderous iron arms and turning the large wheels, is made to bore and rifle the cannon and to weave the most delicate lace. It must be regulated by intellect. Intellect is to the people and the people's force, what the slender needle of the compass is to the ship, its soul, always counseling the huge mass of wood and iron, and always pointing to the north. To attack the citadels built up on all sides against the human race by superstitions, despotisms, and prejudices, the force must have a brain and a law. Then its deeds of daring produce permanent results, and there is real progress. Then there are sublime conquests. Thought is a force, and philosophy should be an energy, finding its aim and its effects in the amelioration of mankind. The two great motors are truth and love. When all these forces are combined, and guided by the intellect, and regulated by the rule of right, and justice, and of combined and systematic movement and effort, the great revolution prepared for by the ages will begin to march. The power of the deity himself is in equilibrium with his wisdom. Hence the only results are harmony. It is because force is ill-regulated that revolutions prove failures. Therefore it is that so often insurrections, coming from those high mountains that domineer over the moral horizon, justice, wisdom, reason, right, built of the purest snow of the ideal after a long fall from rock to rock. After having reflected the sky in their transparency, and been swollen by a hundred affluents, in the majestic path of triumph, suddenly lose themselves in quagmires, like a California river in the sands. The onward march of the human race requires that the heights around it should blaze with noble and enduring lessons of courage. Deeds of daring dazzle history, and form one class of the guiding lights of man. They are the stars and coruscations from that great sea of electricity, the force inherent in the people. To strive, to brave all risks, to perish, to persevere, to be true to oneself, to grapple body to body with destiny, to surprise defeat by the little terror it inspires, now to confront unrighteous power. Now to defy intoxicated triumph, these are the examples that the nations need and the light that electrifies them. There are immense forces in the great caverns of evil beneath society, in the hideous degradation, squalor, wretchedness and destitution, vices and crimes that reek and simmer in the darkness in that populace below the people, of great cities. Their disinterestedness vanishes, every one howls, searches, gropes, and gnaws for himself. Ideas are ignored, and of progress there is no thought. This populace has two mothers, both of them stepmothers, ignorance and misery. Want is their only guide, for the appetite alone they crave satisfaction. Yet even these may be employed. The lowly sand we trample upon, cast into the furnace, melted, purified by fire, may become resplendent crystal. They have the brute force of the hammer, but their blows help on the great cause, when struck within the lines traced by the rule held by wisdom and discretion. Yet it is this very force of the people, this titanic power of the giants, that builds the fortifications of tyrants, and is embodied in their armies. Hence the possibility of such tyrannies as those of which it has been said, that Rome smells worse under Vitellius than under Sulla. To some one or more of whom, without any immediate creative act on the part of the great immovable, silent deity, the immediate creation of the material and mental universe was due. We have already spoken of many of the speculations on this point. To some, the world was created by the Logos or Word, first manifestation of, or emanation from, the deity. To others, the beginning of creation was by the emanation of a ray of light, creating the principle of light and life. The primitive thought, creating the inferior deities, a succession of intelligences, the Ianges of Zoroaster, his Amshus bands, Ists, and Pharaohs, the ideas of Plato, the Ions of the Gnostics, the Angels of the Jews, the Nous, the Demiurgos. The divine reason, the powers or forces of Philo, and the Elohim, forces or superior gods of the ancient legend with which Genesis begins, to these and other intermediaries the creation was owing. No restraints were laid on the fancy and the imagination. The various abstractions became existences and realities. The attributes of God, personified, became powers, spirits, intelligences. God was the light of light, divine fire, the abstract intellectuality, the root or germ of the universe. Simon Magus, founder of the Gnostic faith, and many of the early Judaizing Christians, admitted that the manifestations of the Supreme Being, as Father, or Jehovah, Son or Christ, and Holy Spirit, were only so many different modes of existence. Or forces, Greek, delta upsilon nu alpha mu epsilon iota, of the same God. To others they were, as were the multitude of subordinate intelligences, real and distinct beings. The Oriental imagination reveled in the creation of these inferior intelligences, powers of good and evil, and angels. We have spoken of those imagined by the Persians and the Kabbalists. In the Talmud, every star, every country, every town, and almost every tongue has a prince of heaven as its protector. Jehul is the guardian of fire, and Michael, of water. Seven spirits assist each, those of fire being Seraphiel, Gabriel, Nitriel, Tamil, Chimskiel, Hadarniel, and Sarniel. These seven are represented by the square columns of this degree, while the columns Jachin and Boaz represent the angels of fire and water. But the columns are not representatives of these alone. To Basilides, God was without name, uncreated, at first containing and concealing in himself the plenitude of his perfections. And when these are by him displayed and manifested, there result as many particular existences, all analogous to him, and still and always him. To the Essenes and the Gnostics, the East and the West both devised this faith. That the ideas, conceptions, or manifestations of the deity were so many creations, so many beings, all God, nothing without him, but more than what we now understand by the word ideas. They emanated from and were again merged in God. They had a kind of middle existence between our modern ideas, and the intelligences or ideas, elevated to the rank of genii, of the Oriental mythology. These personified attributes of deity, in the theory of Basilides, were the, Greek, Pyro Omega Tau Gamma Omicron Nu Omicron, or firstborn, Greek, Nu Omicron Upsilon, nous or mind, from it emanates, Greek, Lambda Omicron Gamma Omicron, Logos, or the word, from it, Greek, Phiro Nu Eta Sigma Iota, phronesis. Intellect, from it, Greek, Sigma Omicron Phi Iota Alpha, Sophia, wisdom, from it, Greek, Delta Upsilon Nu Alpha Mu Iota, dunamis, power, and from it, Greek, Delta Iota Kappa Alpha Iota Omicron Sigma Upsilon Nu Eta, dikaiosyn, righteousness, to which latter the Jews gave the name of, Greek, Epsilon Iota Rho Eta Nu Eta, irene, peace, or calm. Of the practices of the former we gain but glimpses in the ancient writers, but we know that, as their doctrines were taught by John the Baptist, they greatly resembled those of greater purity and more nearly perfect, taught by Jesus. And that not only Palestine was full of John's disciples, so that the priests and Pharisees did not dare to deny John's inspiration. But his doctrine had extended to Asia Minor, and had made converts in luxurious Ephesus, as it also had in Alexandria and Egypt, and that they readily embraced the Christian faith, of which they had before not even heard. These old controversies have died away, and the old faiths have faded into oblivion. But Masonry still survives, vigorous and strong, as when philosophy was taught in the schools of Alexandria and under the portico. Teaching the same old truths as the Essenes taught by the shores of the Dead Sea, and as John the Baptist preached in the desert, truths imperishable as the deity, and undeniable as light. Those truths were gathered by the Essenes from the doctrines of the Orient and the Occident, from the Zendavesta and the Vedas, from Plato and Pythagoras, from India, Persia, Phoenicia, and Syria, from Greece and Egypt, and from the holy books of the Jews. Hence we are called Knights of the East and West, because their doctrines came from both. And these doctrines, the wheat sifted from the chaff, the truth separated from error, Masonry has garnered up in her heart of hearts, and through the fires of persecution, and the storms of calamity, has brought them and delivered them unto us. That God is one, immutable, unchangeable, infinitely just and good, that light will finally overcome darkness, good conquer evil, and truth be victor over error. These, rejecting all the wild and useless speculations of the Zendavesta, the Kabbalah, the Gnostics, and the schools, are the religion and philosophy of Masonry. Those speculations and fancies it is useful to study. That knowing in what worthless and unfruitful investigations the mind may engage, you may the more value and appreciate the plain, simple, sublime, universally acknowledged truths, which have in all ages been the light by which Masons have been guided on their way. The wisdom and strength that like imperishable columns have sustained and will continue to sustain its glorious and magnificent temple.